I apologize for the late. The topic that I would like to discuss is, are you allowed to give land for the Arabs if there is going to be peace? That would be our first topic. I'm going to give in Rosh Chodesh Kislev 7 shiurim. Every shiur will be another topic. I believe, I want to give an introduction. I believe that one of the things that is very, very important, every question have to be looked from halacha perspective. This question of, in two months there are going to be election in Israel. And you're going to hear a lot that one of the big questions is going to be which parties are agreeing to give land, which parties are not agreeing to leave land. That in Israel it's spoken all the time. The problem is that the people that speak about it are the people in the media. And we as Bnei Torah have to get understood and used that everything we look from a Torah perspective. We don't look things from not Torah perspective. I'm going to give in 2 weeks or in a week about brain death. Only a month ago, there was a big discussion in the media about it because it was found that they said that someone is a brain deaf and then she was alive. And how a thing like that can happen. Again, we shouldn't take anything from the media. We have to see things from Torah perspective. And this question that is so important, are you allowed to give land or not, must be looked in halacha and machshava perspective. Introduction number one. Introduction number two. The question that we have to ask every time when I have a halachic question, I have to understand A, what is the question, and B, what are the halachic questions. So the question is, are you allowed to give land or not? The halachic question is A, what are the isur? One issue can be lo techonem. You're not allowed. Lo techonem means don't give chanaya bekarka. The halacha is that even if you have an apartment in Israel, you're not allowed even to rent it to a goy, not only to sell it. Even to rent it to a goy, you're not allowed. I was asked, someone had a very problematic apartment. For almost a year, he didn't found anyone. And then comes someone from the United Nations that wanted it. And he called me to ask me a psak, because you're not allowed to rent to a goy. Is he allowed to rent it because it's a hafzat merube? For a year it was empty. I won't go now, we don't have time for that. So issue number one, lo techonem. You're not allowed to give chanaya bakarta to a goy. We have to check if this is only to people that work Avodah Zarah or even to people that don't work Avodah Zarah. Because there is a big difference between Christianity and Muslim. Christianity is called Avodah Zarah according to most poskim because they believe not in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but they believe the Kadosh Baruch Hu plus that man. By the way, one of the most interesting questions that rabbis have to decide today, and again, maybe we'll give about the shiur, but not now, there are a lot of Christians that want to give money to yeshivot, and to Torah Institute, and to Chesed Institute, and they are Christians for Israel. And there is a very interesting halachic question, are you allowed to take money from them or not, for charity? But we'll discuss it another time. So the question is, Muslimim is not called Avodah Zarah because they believe in the same thing. Rav Neventzal, Mori v'Rabbi, is the Rav of the Old City, is posting that not only that it's not called Avodah Zarah, but a misgad, the place where they daven, have a din of Bet Knesset. Because they daven to the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so if it has a din of Bet Knesset, it means that if you're not allowed to eat in Bet Knesset, you're not allowed to eat in misgad. If you're not allowed to sleep in the Knesset, you're not allowed to sleep in... You understand the word misgad, yes? How do you say it in English?
Mosque.
Mosque. You're not allowed to sleep in a mosque because it has a din of the Knesset. So the question number one is if the Isu lo techonem is even Isu for Arabs because they don't work Avodah Zarah.
Can you go into a mosque then?
What? you are allowed to go into a mosque, you're not allowed to go into a church. Again, because a mosque is not Avodah Zarah, so you are allowed to go into a mosque. But it will have the same dinim, so you can't go, for example, if there is rain. You can't go only because you want to heal from the rain. Because it has dinim of Kedushat B'Knesset, according to Rav Nevinson. Issue number two, the Torah said, I'll give you immediately the pages, V'yerashtem otah v'yeshavtem ba. There is a mitzvah to fight for Eretz Yisrael and to conquer Eretz Yisrael and to sit in Eretz Yisrael. So if you have to conquer Eretz Yisrael, kal v'chomer that you can give it. So if you give, you're over the isur of v'yerashtem otah. The chiyuv of v'yerashtem otah. All the poskim agrees that if you don't save life by giving to the Arabs, it's not allowed. There is no discussion between poskim that if you don't save life, it's not allowed. Therefore, in my understanding, what happened in Gush Katif was terrible. Because in Gush Katif, it wasn't even planned to save life because it wasn't a contract, it was a present. It's not that the Arabs said, we won't go into fight anymore. And now the question is, will they keep the agreement or won't keep the agreement? They even didn't say it. So therefore, no question that Gush Katif, for example, was Aser. I'm going to speak later on. If a soldier that was in Gush Katif, does he have to obey the orders or not? Okay? We're going to discuss it later, but not now. Again, from the halachic perspective. But what we are saying now is that there is a problem in because if it doesn't save life, then certainly there is some. The question is, what happened in a case that it's going to save life? Meaning to say, the Arabs are signing that if they will get it, there are no more war, and maybe even they break their army. And here starts the question. Because we know that only three things are mutar when it's not pikuach, are asur, even if you're saving life. Killing a person, avodah zarah, and shufut damim. But this is certainly not one of the three. So will it be allowed if it saves life? That's the question that we are asking. If it doesn't save life, the are asur. If it saved life and you're going to help life, and they will, okay, look on it now. In this minute, how many people are in such a danger? Okay, I was now on my way. I apologize again. There was a big traffic problem. I was now on my way. There is, as Akka, there is a missile that came now to Gadera that is 20 minutes right from here, half an hour. So, what happened if they sign? We don't go into war anymore. I want to say that I'm already speaking almost like the end. There will be a lot of rabbis that will say, theoretically it's allowed. Practically it's not allowed. Because this rabbi says, really, if it saved life, it's allowed. But the problem is that they don't believe and they're saying that today there is no partner. And even if they tell you that they're not going, that they won't go into war, we don't believe them. Therefore, according to a lot of rabbis, this question is a theoretical question, but practically they will say no, because they say oppositely. They're going to be closer to you. You won't be there. There is no police of you. They will have more industry from bombs. And you're only risking the life of the soldiers another 10 years. So we have to make here a difference between the practical question and the halachic question. I want to make it very, very clear. The halachic question is, if there is going to be pikuach nefesh, if this is allowed or not. According to some poskim, today, this question is not relevant. Because today, there is no partner. The Arab are not like, okay, in America, Obama decides everything. But in the Arabs, even if you have a leader that will sign, it doesn't mean that you don't have Hamas and you don't have our terrorists that won't listen to that leader, and they were going to go into war. So therefore, it's not clear that practically it will be allowed according to some poskim. And here we have to ask the experts. We have to ask the experts, let's say, it will come to that situation. Do you believe them or you don't believe them? So my question is, and from here on I'm continuing Shir, if they're going to agree not to war, and it's going to save life according to the Arabs, and the expert will say that what will happen, now starts the halakhic question. We are going to discuss what happens if 50% says believe them, and 50% says don't believe them. What do you do then? Argument between experts. And by the way, that's the situation today. Some expert says Obama is very strong. He will be in charge of the agreement, and he will force them not to go into war. And some people say, we don't trust anyone. We can't trust anyone. It won't work. Oppositely, you make them stronger. 10 years, no question, there will be a war. Question is, what happens when there is debate between experts, but we don't discuss it now? That's all, everything is only introduction. Is things clear till here? Questions?
What about if all experts agree at Suffolk?
What?
If they say there's a big chance at Suffolk,
we're going according to Rove.
So
if they're saying that Rove, most probably, they're going to keep the agreement, then yes.
What about the second question? If they say they won't keep the agreement, but reduce life, so it will save some lives.
What?
At the moment, they're killing a certain amount of people. If we make an agreement, everyone agrees it will reduce it.
Almost everyone thinks the opposite.
I'm saying if
everyone says that if they're going to be a war and you're going to give them, then they're going to be more people being killed. And this is what happens today in Gaza. Today in Gaza, you have a lot of places that are industry for bombs because there is no army there that can keep guard. So no question that if there is going to be war and you're going to give them, you're risking more soldiers and not less soldiers. That's all the expert says.
What if for sure you knew that there wouldn't be any more killed, but you wouldn't know that they would be killed if you didn't sign?
What?
What if you know that by signing no more will be killed, but if you didn't sign, you don't know that they would be killed?
To my regret, that's not the situation. Today, there is no one in Israel, no expert for security in Israel, that thinks that if there is not going to be agreement, there is not going to be war. There is only question is when. But everyone thinks there is going to be. And only this day shows you that people are being killed. Today, 3 people in Kiryat Malachi are going to be killed. So to think that without agreement, no one will be killed is naive. Is not reality. That's not the situation. You were in the funeral a month ago, right? Of someone that was killed from Nofa Yalom. So we can't think that without agreement, no one is going to be killed. It's not realistic. Okay.
Is there a factor in the fact that you're going to be preventing the war for another 10 years?
What?
Is there a factor in the fact that if you sign...
That's not called pikuach nefesh. So if there is surim, it won't be allowed. Last introduction. What is the question? L'chora, it's so simple. It's not one of the 3 surim. So you don't have the din of if in pikuach nefesh, it should be allowed. Even if you're over lot tachonem, and if you're over other isurim, but in pikuach nefesh, it should be allowed. The problem is that the Torah said, v'yirashtem ota. You have to conquer Israel. It means that the Torah says, be killed for having Israel. Because everyone understands that in a war, soldiers are being killed. And if the Torah says there is milchemet mitzvah to conquer Israel, it means that the Torah said Israel is more important than life. And this is really our question. Our shiur today, what is more important, life or the land of Israel? If land is more important, then I can't say pikuach nefesh, because land is more important than life. If life is more important, then it will be allowed. Now what we see is that the Torah said, go to a war. It means that the Torah says, be killed. Because no one thinks that you go to a war where no one is being killed. It means that the Pasuk, ויירשתם אותה וישבתם בה, really tells you that Eretz Israel is more important than Chaim. Because if Chaim will be more important than Eretz Israel, then you're going to go to war. And if you have to go to war, not because of defense, not because the Arabs will kill you, I have to go to war simply to conquer Eretz Israel. It means that Eretz Israel is more important than Chaim. If Eretz Israel is more important than Chaim, it means the result is don't give anything back. Because you can't tell me because of pikuach nefesh it will be allowed. Because if it will be allowed, then I wouldn't go to war. Is everything clear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's the question now. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, for example, I'll hear a question in a minute. We're going to learn a few shitot. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, Rav Lichtenstein, Rav Amital. Rav Amital Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rosh Yeshivat Agush, and Rav Lichtenstein, Yibadel Lechaim Arukim, the Rav Shach, Zatzal, Rosh Yeshivat Ponovich, Rav Shaul Israeli, Rav Soloveitchik. We're going to go one shita after another. Rav Soloveitchik has a tremendous, interesting shita. But let's start with Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook. And a lot of rabbis in Israel that learned in Yeshivat Merkaz Harav, they heard it from him so much, and they think like him. He says, if the Torah said to go to a war, it means that the Eretz Israel is more important than life. It means that there is no pikuach nefesh when you speak about Eretz Israel. It means that it will be killed for four things. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayot, Shfichut Damim, and Eretz Israel. We're mechadish now, for four things, not for three things. Therefore, according to Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, opinion number one, even if there will be peace, and we only speak in Shiur now if there will be peace, and even if you will prevent people, it's clear, you are going to save 5,000 people. Still, you're not allowed to give even 1 centimeter, because you have to conquer that 1 centimeter they're going to give. And according to him, it wasn't allowed to give Gaza, it wasn't allowed to give Gush Katif, and you really today have to conquer it back. Because you have to fulfill the mitzvah for Yerushalayim Otavi, Yerushalayim Otavi Yishavtem Ba. So you have today to conquer Gush Katif, you have today to conquer Gaza, you have today to go into a war. And don't tell me my soldiers will be killed, who cares, the Torah says you to go. The only place, I only will finish his opinion, the only possibility that you shouldn't go to a war to conquer Eretz Israel is if the captors will tell you that you're not going to secure it. Meaning to say, if the captors will tell you, if you go now to Gaza, you won't conquer it, you're going to fail in your war, then you shouldn't go, because you won't succeed. But if the captains don't tell you that, and they tell you, yeah, ex-soldiers will be killed, but you have to go to a war, then according to this passage, you have to go to a war. So not only that it was a mistake to give Gush Katif, according to Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook, we have to conquer it again. Is the opinion of Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook clear to everyone? Questions? Bakasha.
What would happen if you said that you'd be successful in taking over Gaza, but in return with that, there'll be retaliations from other countries, and you know that you won't be successful in that? Like with Iran and Iraq and Syria and Jordan, Lebanon would all retaliate, and Egypt and...
What they would do to me?
If you touch Gaza, they'll attack you, and the generals know that they won't be successful and be able to defend all those countries.
Meaning to say everyone will be killed? If the answer is that everyone will be killed, the answer is that no longer. If some people will be killed, then it's like some people going to a war, so there is no difference. But if they'll tell you that if you go to Gaza, Iran is going to send an atomic bomb and going to destroy Israel, then the answer is no. Or if they will tell you that Egypt now will conquer Sinai because we conquered Gaza, they will conquer Sinai, so you don't earn because you earn X and you're losing Y. So the answer will be no. But if immediately what will happen is, let's say that if we conquer Gaza, there will be more terrorists. So no one on you can go into a tram. Everyone will have to go into a bus. But that's not the reason not to do it. Yeah?
According to this idea, what if Israel would be in control of land that it doesn't have, like, Yerushalayim, Israel, it's not within the borders of what the Tanakh says Israel is. So would they be able to give that back?
If it's not connected to Eretz Israel, it's not part of the borders of Eretz Israel, then no question, you can give it. But if it's in the border of Eretz Israel, it won't be allowed. So some poskim want to say that maybe Gaza is not Eretz Israel. So according to that, there is no discussion. But most of the poskim don't say that way.
So the Torah differentiate between the life of a soldier and the life of a civilian, or not?
No. Not any difference.
Even if you said that the experts tell you that you're going to lose if you try to reconquer the land, why don't we say it's similar to the original conquering of Eretz Yisrael, where it was impossible, they were facing giants and impossible stuff, and you won anyway because we were trusting Hashem, so why can't we use the same argument here?
I didn't understand, Joe.
If you want to reconquer the land, and the experts tell you you can't conquer the land, you'll never win.
Because you can't be so mechonisim.
But
if Hashem tells you befeirus, it's something else. When Hashem doesn't tell you, then ain ad dayan elamashe
en avrot. He is telling you. He shafted him
though. No, he didn't tell you that that you will succeed. He told you that you have a chiyuv to do it if you think that you will succeed. If you don't think that you will succeed, you don't have a chiyuv to do it.
So then why would they do it? Why would they do it beforehand in 1948 when they in 19
what
in 67 they didn't think that they had in 1948 they didn't think they had a shot in 67 they didn't think they had a shot. 73, they didn't think
they had a choice.
Israel never went to a war when she thought that she was going to fail.
No, they can't.
According to Shita, is the mitzvah conquering Eretz Yisrael equal to Israel not giving away land?
It's the same thing.
So what happens if you have a Sheva Altar say if by conquering land you're going to lose land elsewhere in Eretz Yisrael?
What?
Do you have a Sheva Altar say if by going conquering Gaza you leave another area undefended and another country comes and attacks that area?
If we'll have time, we'll speak about it later. About Sheva Altars. Rav Yehuda Cook. I apologize that I don't have pages for everyone, so I have almost everyone, but not everyone. So please, two people should see it together. Okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, I apologize, next time I will have more. Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook is basing himself on the Ramban. The Ramban says, what's the mitzvah? V'yirashtem ota v'yishavtem ba? Shenitztavenu l'reshet ha'aretz. Asher natan hakel yit'ala l'avoteinu. L'Avraham, l'Yitzchak, u'l'Yaakov. So we have a chiyuv to l'reshet ha'aretz. Who needs? Who doesn't have? Danny? Anyone else? Shenitztavenu l'reshet ha'aretz asher natan hakel yit'ala l'avoteinu Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov ולא נעזבנה ביד זולתנו מן האומות. You have to conquer all Eretz Israel. You're not allowed to have part that will be by the goyim. והוא אמרו להם והורשתם את הארץ וישבתם בה כי לכם נתתי את הארץ לרשת אותה. ופירט אותה למצווה הזאת בגבולותיה. So the mitzvah is all the gvulot of Eretz Israel. You have a chiyuv to go to a war, even if you die. I'm skipping to, because of the time, four lines from the end. ואל תשתבש ותאמר כי המצווה הזאת היא המצווה במלחמת זין עממים שנצטווינו לעובדם שנאמר אחרם תחרימם. Don't think that this mitzvah was only in the time of Yehoshua. No, this is a mitzvah לדורות. אבל אין הדבר כן, שאנו נצטווינו להרוג האומות ההם, ואם רצו להשלים נשלים ונעזבם בתנאים יהודיים, אבל הארץ לא נניח אותם בידם בדור מן הדורות. So the Ramban is mechaber that the mitzvah וירשתם אותה וישבתם בה, even that Yehoshua said it to, Hashem said it to the time of Yehoshua, is for today. It's דור מן הדורות. So today there is a mitzvah to conquer all Eretz Israel. So according to the Ramban, we have to go to a war today to conquer Gaza back. And we have to go to a war today to conquer Gush Katif, if it's part of Eretz Israel. So Kal Vachomer that we can't give. And you can't tell me, oh, Pikuach Nefesh, Pikuach Nefesh, because the Torah said fight, and fight, you're being killed. So Rav Tzvida is saying, it's written in the Ramban. It's all the generation. Therefore, it's not allowed. And if you know the history, after the 67, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kuk was the Rosh Hashivat Merkaz Rav. And he took thousands of his Talmidim to sit in the whole West Bank. And this is that today you have so many settlements in the West Bank, everything is because of Rav Tzvi Yehuda. Because he wanted that it will never go back. Because he said there is issue to give it back. And he understood that it only won't go back if the Jews will live there. Therefore he told his Talmidim even to leave Yeshiva and to open a Kollel guy, but Kollel people, but to go to Elkanah and to go to Beit El where you're going to be the Shabbos and to go to all these places in order that if Jews will live there, it will never go back. Because it's not allowed to go back. And he himself went to demonstration against the government when Kissinger was here, the former minister of America, and he negotiated with Israel to give land to the Arabs. He himself, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kuk, demonstrated against Kissinger because of his opinion or how he explained it. So that's opinion number one. Is opinion number one clear to everyone? So if I'm making a chart, that we are starting on Sunday, I hope to finish the topic. If we're making a chart, the chart will be, who allows to give? Okay? Mutar, latet, asu'im. Meaning to say if it will avoid people from being killed. Asur latet. Afilu im yamutu yehudim. So Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kuk is here. And it's being based on the Ramban that the mitzvah is for all the generation. I only want to say one more sentence and then ask me, please. Rav Tzvi Yehuda says, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kuk says, that was the reason for Ben Gurion in 1948 to establish the State of Israel. Lichora, and we are going to learn later on the opinion of the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe says Ben Gurion was Rasha by establishing Israel. He wasn't allowed to establish Israel. Why? Because his declaration in 1948 caused so many people to die. Why? In order to have a state, you're allowing yourself to kill so many people. And therefore, according to the Satmar Rebbe, it wasn't allowed to establish the state because it caused so many people to be killed. But according to Rav Tzvi Yehuda, the only way how to do this thing of Yerashtem Otav Yeshavtem Ba is only if we'll have a state. Because if we won't have a state, the whole world will force us to give it back, to give it to the Arabs. So therefore the only way to do this mitzvah is by a state. And even if people will be killed because of the state, it's allowed, because the Torah said people can be killed and it's still allowed. Therefore Ben Gurion was right. So the Satmar Rebbe, I understand, and I'm not explaining now why, that that mitzvah doesn't apply. Therefore, according to him, Ben Gurion was wrong. But according to Rav Tzvi Yehuda, because there is a mitzvah, and the only way to fulfill that mitzvah is with a state, therefore, it was allowed to declare about the state, even if people will be killed. Is the opinion of Rav Tzvi Yehuda clear to everyone? Questions? Dari.
Does this only mean in the context of going to war, though, or even outside of war, it's a Yarm Del Yavar?
Again?
The says if an Arab comes into an apartment, God forbid in Israel, and he says, give me the apartment or I'm going to kill you, you're required to give up your life, or it's only in the context of war? Because the Pasuk says you have to conquer. It doesn't say, this is not conquering Eretz Yisrael.
The Ramban says, maybe I don't have it here, but this mitzvah is for Yachid, not only for Rabbim. Therefore, in your case, you have to be dead and not to give the land back. Unless that if you'll be dead, he will take it. What?
It's the fourth Yarm Del Yavar.
Right. Unless that if you will be dead, you'll take it. There is a famous quotation of Rav Tzvi Yehuda, and there is big argument in the Talmidim how to understand it. He went to Alon Moreh. That was the first settlement that was done without permission by the government in order that Jews would live there. And he himself was a very old man. He went to Alon Moreh. And the captain came to him and asked him, please move, because you're not allowed to be here. Please move. So he told the captain, and it's recorded, even if you kill me, I'll stay because it's Yaharik Val Yavar. And that's Yachid, that's not Rabbi. Now, the only case where you shouldn't die is that he'll kill you and then he will take the house. So if the killing doesn't help, then certainly you shouldn't be killed. But that's in every Yaharik Val Yavar. If I tell you, kill someone, and if not, I'll kill you. But if you say, no, I'll kill you, and then I'll kill him, then it's another question. So it's not specific to Eretz Yisrael. It's in generally about Yaharik Val Yavar.
Does this apply financially, that if I have an apartment, and I know that a goy is going to buy the upstairs one, I should buy it first?
What?
Does this apply like financially? Like, if I know that a goy is going to buy an apartment, and I already own one, should I buy that one instead of them so they can't get it?
I have to think about it a little more, but the answer is yes.
Following that idea, does that mean that one is chayav to join the army?
What?
Following that idea, is there a chiyuv for one to join the army of this mitzvah?
I don't have time now to discuss it. Maybe we'll have a shiur in that. That goes to our sugya in Baba Batra, Dav Zayin Amud Bet, Rabbanan Lo Tzrichin Net Yeruta. If that applies today to the army or not, so I can't go into that. Yeah. Hala. I'm jumping to Rav Gilfin Shel Rav Amita. They are saying the following. This mitzvah to go into war, according to, I only want to make it clear that you will understand the difference between the two approaches that we are presenting tonight. According to Rav Tzvi Yehuda, a king will always have to go to war unless he will be told that he will be failing in the war. But it will tell him, you won't fail in the war. But it will bring a stress, a very stress economically. Because the whole world will be against you, and there will be pressure, and you won't get gas, and Obama won't like you. That's not a reason not to go. Only you shouldn't go if you'll fail. But if you don't fail, you have a chiyuv to go. But listen, Rav Amital, understand that because the question of going to a war is in a king, not I decide on that, not you decide, not the soldier, a king decide. And it was given to a king to decide. Therefore, a king can put any thinking that he has if to go to a war or not. Meaning to say, according to Rav Amital and Rav Lichtenstein, the mitzvah is ve'yirashtem ota ve'yishavtem ba, go to a war if it's good for Israel. If it's not good for Israel, there is no mitzvah. And the king decides if it's good for Israel or not, because it's a mitzvah on the king. So the Torah didn't say, fight, no matter what's the price. 5,000 people will be killed, 10,000 people will be killed. If you conquer it, have it. He said this is not logical. The mitzvah is, if it's good for the Jews, then do it. It's not good for the Jews, don't do it. And the king is the one that is responsible. I only want to finish his opinion, then you ask. Therefore, if the king is allowed to decide, I'm not conquering Gaza, okay, because the whole world will be against me, and it will be such a big pressure on Israel, it will collapse economically, and so on, I'm not doing it. And it will be okay for the king to think so. So it's not mitzvah, going to a war is mitzvah on the king, and the king can have to think if it's good for Israel or bad for Israel. The next step is, I'll answer your question in a few minutes, but I want to make it very clear. The next step is that if the king decides that it's good for Israel to give land to the Arabs, then he will be allowed. Like he can decide not to go to a war because that's good for Israel, he can decide to give land because it's good for Israel. Because this mitzvah, the responsible is the king, and he has to think, is it good or bad? Therefore, before Gush Katif, Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Amital went into the radio, into the TV, and they said the following. We think it's a tremendous mistake to do, to give it. We think it's catastrophe. But if the government decides, and Sharon, he decides that it's good for Israel, after he decides that, his decision is valid, and he's not over any Israel. We would think differently, and we will decide differently. But he's the prime minister. Prime minister, according to Rav Kook, have a din of king. And he thinks that it's really good. Therefore, his decision is valid. Therefore, they told all their soldiers in the army, all the students in Gush, in Yeshiva Gush, they told all the students, you have to obey the orders. Because even if we think that a mistake, the orders are valid. So the machloket we are presenting today between the two approaches, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook and Rav Lichtenstein Rav Amital, is the mitzvah Yerashtem Otav Yeshavtem Ba says, you have to do it no matter what is the price. The only time that you don't do it if you fail, if you won't succeed. Or the mitzvah is, if it's good for the Jews, then you have a chiyuv to conquer. If it's not good for the Jews, you don't have a chiyuv to conquer. And the king is the one decides. So if they tell him 10,000 people will be killed, He says it's not worthwhile to have Gaza if 10,000 people will be killed. So according to Rav Tzvi the cook, giving Gush Katif was against halacha. But according to Rav Lichtenstein, it wasn't smart, but after it was decided, it was okay according to halacha. Are you with me? Is it clear what I'm saying? So we have now two understanding in the pasuk, and they say that that's the pshat in the Ramban. They say the Ramban said to go to a war, but only to go to a war if it's good, not if it's bad. And the king is the one responsible to decide. Therefore, the people that hold like Rav Tzvi Yehuda, a soldier in Gush Katif wasn't allowed to cooperate and take Jews out of their houses because according to this, the soldier was doing something against halacha. If he hold like Rav Tzvi Yehuda. If he hold like Rav Lichtenstein, then it was allowed. Because even if it wasn't smart, but it was valid. If it was valid, then it was allowed. Are you with me? Are things clear? Questions? And we go to one more thing, and with this we'll finish.
So then again, on an individual level then, it's not the king's decision here. If an individual would have the situation where an Arab says, give me the apartment or I'll kill you, does he have to give it then?
If he thinks that having this apartment by the Arabs is bad, meaning to say, it goes back to the question, what he thinks. He can decide whatever he thinks is good for Israel, not for him.
Only the king can override, can make the decision that would wipe out the Israelis.
I don't know what he will say about the Yachid. I don't want to say things that I don't know. Okay.
How do they learn it out from the pasuk that it only applies to the king? Because it seems pretty clear that it's not only one.
No, the Yerashtem Otam means go to a war. Who is in charge of wars? The king.
They didn't have a king.
What? Yoshua is the king. Prime minister is the king. Always there is someone that decides to go to a war. There is a leader. It's a mitzvah on the leaders. The one that is in charge of the war have a mitzvah to take the soldiers and to fight. But it's a mitzvah on the men that they arrange the war. Rav Kook said it doesn't have to be king. It has to be the men that is in charge of that.
If there wouldn't be peace for giving back the land...
What?
If there would not be peace by giving back the land, would Rav Lichtenstein or Rav Mittal say that even though there won't be peace by Din Mela, that you would still be allowed to give it away?
Yeah, but there would be still the problem, the question of Lo Techonem. Meaning to say, maybe you solve the problem of Yerashtem, but still there is a question of Lo Techonem.
If the king isn't keep halacha, and let's say, like the government nowadays doesn't keep halacha, let's say those times that a king was kept over the Zawah, you have to still follow them?
Rav Lichtenstein, Rav Mittal says, if the king thinks that this is good for Israel, even if he doesn't see it from a Torah perspective, but he's really doing it because in his understanding it's good for Israel, it's valid. If he's doing it for his own interest, but he knows that really it's not good for Israel, then it's not valid.
So if they had to get votes for politics,
right,
it wouldn't work.
Right.
Secondly, giving an apartment, does that count as land? Is there a block of apartments?
Doesn't make a difference.
It's not land.
It's called land.
Why?
I'm not going into that now. But it's everything. It's din of karka. Karka is extended, like there are a few karka out. But it's certainly every apartment is called mechubar karka. Everything of karka.
You have to sell it with a kinyan khalifa, you couldn't do.
Okay.
So according to Amitav and Lichtenstein, the people who refused to leave in these places were Yoruba Bapas.
What?
Were the people, according to Amitav, the people who stayed in the Gush Katif, etc., they're rebellious against the king?
That's not called Moed B'Malchut. It doesn't have the din of Moed B'Malchut. Moed B'Malchut is someone that says that the king is not a king. They didn't say that the king is not a king. They said that he's this. And the people that disagreed were mainly the people that hold like Rav Tzvi the cook. The people, if there would be a student of Rav Lichtenstein that lived in Gush Katif, he won't resist. He won't go against. Because he thinks that after the government decided, he has to obey it. So the people that went against are the people that don't think like Rav Lichtenstein. But even according to Rav Lichtenstein, these people are not called Moreh B'Malchut, because they don't say that the king is not a king. Rav Avidan, that's the last thing that we are talking tonight, because I don't want you to be late for supper. He was the Rosh Hashiva here before Rav Yaakovson, and he was the assistant chief rabbi of the army. He said that even if you hold like Rav Tzvi LeKook, and the government wasn't allowed to do it, and she was over Aveira when she gave Gush Katif, still the soldier was allowed to obey the orders. Because when the soldier took the family out, he didn't give it yet to the Arabs. The one that gave it to the Arabs, but after it was empty, the government gave it to the Arabs, but not the soldier. Therefore, he felt that all the soldiers have to obey the orders, even if you think like Rav Tzvi Yehuda, because the soldier himself is not over any Avera. Therefore, he called the soldiers to obey all the orders, even if you hold like Rav Tzvi Yehuda, because the government is over the issue, but not the soldier is over the issue. So if I'm summarizing the two opinions that we have. According to Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cook, the king doesn't have flexibility, and he must go to war unless he will fail. And the Torah was mechadish to me that you should be killed, and life is more important than Eretz Israel is more important than life. Therefore, according to him, it's illegal and it's against Torah to give. And now you come to the question, according to him, is a soldier should obey order, or like Rav Avidan, the soldier is not making the issue, only the government is making the issue, and therefore the soldier should obey the order. According to Rav Lichtenstein, Rav Amital, life, Eretz Yisrael, is more important than life, even according to them. And the pasuk was reading mechadish to you that you have to be killed for Eretz Yisrael. So they don't disagree to the idea that Eretz Yisrael is more important than life. Are you with me? Is it clear what I'm saying? They agree to that idea. But they say it's only if it's good. And the one that is in charge in what is good is the king, or the government, or the prime minister, and so on. And he has the flexibility to decide, not only according to the question if he will succeed in the war or not, but how many people will be killed, what would be the psychologically effect, what would be the economically effect, what would be the relationship with Obama. All this he should take into account. And therefore, if he decides to give, it's valid. And Rav Lichtenstein made it very clear. I think that Sharon is making a tremendous mistake. But after he decided, now that's the halacha. So we have two opinions. If are you allowed to give or not in the meantime? Rav Tzvi Yehuda, no. Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Amital. Depends on the government. They are deciding if it's allowed or not. According to all the things, with a condition that they're doing it because they think it's good or bad for Israel, not their own interest. And we have a discussion to obey orders or not. According to Rav Lichtenstein, after the government decided, then you have to obey. According to Rav Kook, it depends if you get the logic of Rav Avidan, that it's not the din in the soldier, it's only the din in the government, then you have to obey. Any questions?
But can we not say with Rav Avidan that tying someone up to be killed is an Avera?
What?
Tying someone up before they're killed. Although
tying what?
Kesher.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's getting ready to kill them.
Someone else is going to come and kill them. Whom?
Someone else is going to come and kill them. The government is going to kill someone. You can't tie them up.
The Thai government is not killing Chas V'Shalom anyone.
I'm saying, just like in that
case, I don't understand. The government is killing whom?
I'm saying, just like Eretz Yisrael, we're saying that you're just taking people out of their houses and the government give it away. So too, in the other three of cardinals, three big Averas, you can't help prepare for that Avera. You can't get someone ready for someone else to kill them. You can't prepare other Gazal. You can't help people do any of the other Averas.
But that's only Messiah, but Messiah doesn't have a din of Yahareg Bal Yavor.
Someone
will come to you and tell you, okay, or he doesn't have a din, you're only Messiah, but you don't have the Isser itself. This is what Rabbi Avidan wanted to say. It's not called the Isser.
You said that we if you hold the portion of Sikha, you can't even be the Nithetet.
What?
You said on our Chabur last Friday, if you hold the portion of Sikha, you can't even in the hospital front.
No, because that's something else. You are freezing the situation. Here, you're not freezing anything. Therefore, it's only grammar. It's not part of the process. The part of giving is not this. After it's empty, then there is giving.
So
but that's not part of giving.
Give if you didn't make
that's
it.
Not called giving. That's no. No one will say that you're over the Isser. Sunday, we're going to go to Rav Avadia Yosef. But he's very important in this because today he has a lot of members in the parliament. We're going to go to Rav Soloveitchik. We're going to go to the Rav Shach and the Rabbi Misatmer.